Dave Flessner is business editor at the Chattanooga Times Free Press. We caught up with him recently to talk about a few of his stories, one on the future for electric power in the Tennessee Valley, and the other on the prospects for Chattanooga's economy beyond the pandemic. Dave, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you again, Ray.
Tell us more about what you have written. Is this power shift in the Tennessee Valley, the relations between TVA and local utilities, such as our own EPB here in Chattanooga?
Well, the Tennessee Valley Authority, of course, was created as part of the New Deal in 1933, and it was the wholesale supplier. It harnessed the power of the river and provided power in the seven state regions that it serves. But it's distributed, and the individual customer who gets their electricity gets it from either a municipality like EPB or many of the power cooperatives like North Georgia Electric, Volunteer Energy, and others. So there are 154 of those across the Tennessee Valley area. And those are the ones who've taken TVA's wholesale power and distributed it. And throughout its whole history, TVA has been the power supplier, and the municipalities and power co-ops have been the distributors and had to buy all their power from TVA. A few of them have left from time to time, but fundamentally that number has stayed the same, and they've relied entirely on TVA. Well, as we move into a new era of energy distribution where solar and wind and renewable energy, there's both more demand for it. So customers want to make sure that they can buy renewable energy. And there's the reduced cost of producing that so that you can now produce solar sometimes cheaper than you could potentially get it from TVA at particular times when the sun shines. So TVA is now working out a new arrangement. They're giving some flexibility and allowing distributors like EPB or the power co-ops to produce anywhere from 3 to 5% of their own power. So historically, they've never produced power. They've just taken power from TVA and distributed it along the transmission lines, put it into your house or your business. So the role is really changing a little bit, and distributors, EPB and others, are being able to get into battery storage to produce, maybe build their own solar farm to a limited extent. And this all comes as, at the same time, TVA is trying to make long-term contracts with these distributors. So they have a 20-year agreement that they'll stay with them. And so that relationship between the Tennessee Valley Authority and all these municipalities and co-ops, it's an interesting time. So we've got this flexibility now that we may see more distributed power. Solar power, we can either produce on our own rooftops for individuals, but sometimes distributors and small municipalities can begin to aggregate some solar farms and make their own power to help them meet peak demand. And then TVA itself is even making huge solar farms at utility scale solar. So we're seeing a real shift as we move from big baseload nuclear power, coal-fired power plants, to the ability with wind and solar to produce power at a much more localized, distributed level, and more demand for that. We're seeing Facebook, Amazon, General Motors even have made commitments to go carbon free. And as such, they want to make sure that all of their electricity is produced in a carbon free way. So they don't want coal power. They don't want natural gas power. They want power produced by solar. So we're seeing a range of ways in which both power co-ops and TVA are providing that.
Are there any fault lines here, or is this just a matter of TVA is trying to adjust to how technology in the market is changing, and so are these local utilities?
There's a big challenge in all of this. Can distributors produce their power? They've not done that before. And then is TVA really the best and lowest cost, because they've invested heavily in these main baseload power generating facilities, billions and billions in their nuclear plants, but now solar gets cheaper, and it may be the distributed energy is more efficient and better, and there may be alternatives. So we're seeing some of the 154 municipalities and power co-ops that are in the TVA fold are looking at their options, and some of them are even looking at leaving TVA, including the very largest customer, the Memphis Gas, Light, and Water, which is now studying the option of leaving TVA after more than 70 years and potentially going and buying from other power sources or generating their own power. In our region, Volunteer Energy up in Decatur, North Georgia Electric down in Dalton and North Georgia area, they're both looking potentially of leaving TVA. Maybe they'll get their wholesale power from different sources. So a more competitive market. TVA has always had this monopoly within the seven state area that it has, and we're now seeing some challenges to that. Most of the distributors, EPB and others, have made the judgment that they're going to stick with TVA. They've signed the 20-year agreement. They're going to use some of this flexibility, and they're basically all in with the public power model as we've had it for nearly a century. But for some, they're looking at some options, and we may see some split in the TVA family.
And these large tech firms that are already based in this area and are looking to deepen their footprint in this area, but also concerned about their carbon footprint, that's a wild card in this, isn't it?
Absolutely. So Facebook and Amazon, as I said, GM, even Vanderbilt University have all made commitments to go carbon free. So TVA, in some cases, is building solar farms dedicated just to those sources. Some cases, the local distributor is. In some cases, we may see them do it themselves as well. Facebook is now getting $800 million data processing center, and TVA is building a 70 megawatt solar farm to supply that. Just 2012, when Volkswagen came here, the 8-megawatt solar farm that's out there was the largest solar farm in Tennessee at the time. Now, this new solar farm they're building for Facebook will be 10 times as large. We're seeing a lot bigger and more solar farms as solar costs come down and as more people want to go carbon free, as they become more concerned about climate change.
Does this shake out at all in what people see in their utility bill?
It can very much, because the question is, what is the best long-term, lowest-cost power solution? And TVA has controlled that and will continue to set rates even in this new model for those that sign on with TVA. But as we say, some of the power co-ops and municipalities are looking at potentially getting cheaper power from other sources. So they're looking at trying to deliver power at the lower cost. One of the challenges is solar and wind is great when the sun shines or the wind blows, and it's very cheap, even cheaper than TVA. But then you need somebody to have that backup power to provide power during the nighttime or during peak demand periods, or to have that infrastructure that supplies that. So who pays for the fixed cost of all the transmission system and the delivery? Who pays for that marginal cost? That's the dance that's going on now in the great negotiations that continue between TVA and its customers and its distributors. And TVA, which was still lower than most of the country, is not necessarily the lowest cost source of power. There are some other options that Memphis and North Georgia Electric and Volunteer finding in the region, some other wholesale suppliers that are a bit cheaper. So they're looking around and they may be leaving TVA as a consequence to try to lower their cost for their customers. TVA's mission is always to provide the lowest cost, but they also have to be reliable. And so that question of reliability and cost enter into all of this. And we don't know where the future really lies. How much cheaper can solar get? How much more efficient can solar panels get? They continue to drive down costs. The future is very interesting and changing. And it all comes in an era when people are not increasing their power demand as much as they once did. Every new water heater and furnace and air conditioning unit is more efficient than the one it replaces. So the power load that used to grow as much as 6 or 7% a year in the valley, and people getting more and more electric appliances, even as we have more electronic devices in our home, total electric consumption has been pretty flat or even declining. And so as we get other sources of power, we may not need as much of these massive coal and nuclear plants as we once did.
Let's talk about another story that you have written about the development pipeline here in Chattanooga going forward despite COVID-19 and the economic impact of the lockdown. What do you find?
Very interesting. You would have thought that certainly Chattanooga, like most cities, has been hit pretty hard. I think we're in the last month for which data is available in June, we were 20,000 fewer jobs, 8% fewer jobs than a year ago, in that a lot of people are obviously still laid off or on furlough or not getting their job opportunities. But that said, there's a lot of interest in people moving to Chattanooga. And we're a logistics capital. We've got well located within a day's drive of about half the U.S. population. We've got a lower cost of living, taxes, energy. So all those tend to be attractive. And in the COVID era, there's some desire maybe that people are looking at, instead of having to have downtown offices in big cities like New York or Chicago or Atlanta, they may go to mid-sized cities that are a little bit more comfortable and are more affordable. And social distancing is a little easier in Chattanooga than it is in Manhattan, perhaps, where, as you know very well yourself, right? So it's a great outdoor city. And so there's some attractiveness to that. So the Chamber of Commerce is actually finding that they've actually had more prospects, or at least people they're talking to about relocating here right now than they did a year ago, even before the pandemic, which is really quite extraordinary. So that doesn't mean they're all coming here, but there has been some interest. We've seen a couple of companies, one moved from New Hampshire down here. So a couple of companies, some scattered evidence of that. Individuals too can work anywhere they want now. You know, we suddenly move from a model where we have to drive economic development by bringing businesses here with remote work and workers, and many companies now able to work wherever they want. You can live in Chattanooga, an attractive place to live, lower cost living perhaps than it is in some big cities, and do your work from here. So that may attract workers and people moving here, all of which would foster economic growth in a way that Chattanooga may be poised to do a bit better than many cities, and even in this challenging era that we're in.
Do we have a handle on what types of jobs might be here for these people, or what jobs these people might be bringing from elsewhere?
That's a great question. Some of what the chamber is saying is that, like most of the economy, these jobs require a bit more skills than a lot of the ones that are being phased out. Certainly retailing and a lot of traditional low-skilled factory work is being phased out either by automation or in the current era, you know, online e-commerce is driving a lot of the retail jobs out. So there's a shift, and to be sure, there are many jobs that probably won't be coming back. But jobs in tech areas, as we go to remote work and technology and we do things online, there's opportunities there. And many companies are redefining themselves, certainly in this era, and finding they need different kinds of work. And so skill levels probably need to be more. We need probably more white collar work than blue collar work in demand. So that becomes a challenge for Chattanooga because traditionally our educational level has not been as high as some areas. So that's something we have to continue to work on. I know city and county leaders are trying to work on that challenge. And so worker skills and development becomes even more important, I think, as we move forward.
It seems like it's another example of trends that were already in motion that were magnified and accelerated by the pandemic.
Precisely. I don't know if there's anything new, but I think it just puts everything on steroids and moves it much quicker than we would have ever anticipated. Certainly the office isn't the office of the past, but now we've got where some people won't even have offices. FreightWaves and other companies have decided here in Chattanooga, they don't even need to have their workers come to office. They can work remotely all the time. And even now, 5 months into this, we have some of the major employers in our town, TVA, Unum, Blue Cross, and others, where a majority of their workers are still at home working remotely. Changes we would have thought would have taken several years were compressed now in a few months' time. So it really is accelerating the pace of what we already were seeing. And that creates some real challenges, but some opportunities for Chattanooga as well.
All right, Dave, thanks so much.
Great to be with you. Thanks.